Shrine or Scar by Shayna Storyteller, narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, Hotel de Luna. Pairing, Ku Chan Song, Chang Manuel. Manuel was an outlier. It doesn't usually take 1,300 years for the new owner to find peace with themselves. Chan Song is 43 when the hotel finds itself ownerless once more. It's easy for him to get his hands on the wine. He doesn't hesitate to drink it. "This isn't your destiny," Merciful Mako says, frowning at him. His opinion of her has shifted over the years. Manuel could have spent a couple of reincarnations as a pig or a chicken to cleanse her soul of the people she killed. Instead of a couple hundred years of unlucky reincarnations, she spent 1,300 years in a cage. Mercy cuts deeper than justice ever could. "The thing about giving people the ability to make their own choices," he says, as his humanity becomes tied to the tree that housed his love spirit for so long, "is that sometimes they make choices you don't like." Manuel was a good person, before and then after. She spent the span of her imprisonment helping others and forgave her worst enemies. She's going to come back, and not as a pig or a chicken. She's going to come back, and he's going to be here when she does. He's going to remember her. Mira is killed at the age of 63 by a criminal who wanted to get back at Yongsu. All that bad luck catching up to her, maybe. "I didn't even see who it was," she says ruefully. "I'd hoped I could do at least that much, but I suppose I'll be useless to my husband even after death." "Mira," he scolds. But her eyes are bright and she's still smiling. He'd often considered her particular brand of resilience to be a flaw, but it's hard not to admire it now. She asks to be made an employee. Of course he says yes. She's his friend. Yongsu follows 3 years later. He'd found the man who killed his wife and then died of a broken heart a month later. Chan Song expects them to leave, but instead they choose to stay. "It took us a long time to make the right choices," Mira says, her hand in Yongsu's. "We probably won't be so fortunate in our next life. Let's linger in this one." Chan Song had never considered himself the type of person to get a tattoo. He probably should have decided he was that type of person before drinking the wine. Mortal injuries don't linger. "Are you sure you want to do this?" the Grim Reaper asks. "It's going to hurt." "I'm sure," he says, even as he winces, bracing himself against the pain that isn't even happening yet. The Grim Reaper stares at him, his lips pressed together. "She might not come back. Even if she does, you might not find her. She won't even know who you are." "This isn't about her," he says, ignoring the Grim Reaper's scoff. "This is about me. I'm hers, whether she's here to claim me or not." The Grim Reaper sighs but gets to work. He doesn't say anything until he's done, until he's wiping off the excess ink and blood from his back. "I miss her too. She was good at this when she forgot to hate it." Chan Song wonders if he'll grow to hate it one day, but he doesn't think he will. He chose this. The hotel isn't his prison, but his fence. Sanchez dies in his 90s, leaving behind 3 ex-wives, 7 children, and 13 grandchildren. He stays at the hotel long enough to have a drink. "Veronica is waiting for me, I hope," he says, squeezing Chan Song's shoulder. "I don't want to make her wait any longer." Yuna doesn't even ask. She just puts on the uniform and takes up her position behind the front desk. "It's funny, isn't it?" she says when she leans against the counter. "I still look like her, I guess after 70 years in that body, with her name, it really did become mine. Even my soul knows it.
Did you think it didn't?
He asks. She ignores that.
Are we really going to keep brass keys? We should at least update to room cards.
No, he says. She doesn't push, and he doesn't ask why she's staying. They both know the answer, after all. He finds all of Manuel's things in storage. It's a relief. He'd worried they'd been lost. He puts up all her portraits. He keeps her desk. He sleeps in the bed she chose. She was not worthy of this devotion. Pitiless Mago sniffs.
And I was not deserving of heartbreak, he responds kindly. This Mago, at least, does not play games. Not all fates are earned.
Hyunjun returns. He becomes a teacher, able to finally spend his life in the school he loved. Yuna visits the coffee shop he frequents, and Chunsung pretends not to notice. He probably should have said something. He doesn't know why he thought Yuna would be content to just watch the man she loved and lost.
I suppose I can help file the paperwork,
Hyunjun says, his arm around Yuna's shoulders and a ring on her finger. It's him, so clearly him, but he's a decade older than the teenager Chunsung remembers. Hyunjun has finally grown up.
She tells me that we used to know each other. I'd be happy to help out if you don't want to hire a proper manager, but I don't have much free time outside of the kids. You do know she's a ghost, right?
He asks desperately. Yuna throws him a dirty look, but Hyunjun just shrugs.
Nobody's perfect.
She shifts that dirty look to him and he amends.
Except you, dear.
He's at least smoother in this life than in his last. Manuel is no ordinary soul. She walked halfway across the bridge and didn't forget. She didn't say that because she didn't know what the Magos would did if they knew. Apparently a soul cannot exist for 1,300 years without knowing something of endurance. She is born to a rich family with loving parents. She is popular and pretty and happy, and she has an equally pretty boyfriend who adores her. Her friends are convinced that he's going to ask to marry her. She is too. Of course he is. He's perfect and it makes sense. Marrying him is going to be easy and perfect, just like the rest of her life. When she is 19, the dreams start. The memories start.
I'm so stupid.
She laughs, looking down at the photo of her and her boyfriend, of her and the man she knew as Ku Chung-yong. He's so good to her. If she were different and didn't know who they used to be, it wouldn't matter. And she could have the love story they both deserved. The love story they should have had, and the one they each earned through 1,300 years of repenting. But she does, and it does. She cries after breaking up with him, which, if nothing else, proves to her she's different than the woman she was. After what he did to her, she shouldn't care. But they're not those people anymore. She still can't choose him. Even as different people, she can't walk to the end of the bridge at his side. Someone is waiting for her. I want to go to Harvard, she tells her parents. Her mother is enthusiastic, while her father is mostly confused. Her past life had been full of so much struggle. In this one, she's never supposed to struggle. Everything is supposed to be easy. But she's never chosen the easy path before, and it seems a waste of being smart and beautiful and better than everyone around her to stick to the easy path. She completes undergrad, then goes overseas to attend Harvard Law School. Sanchez, she says, delighted, to the boy sitting next to her in her first class. He blinks.
Do I know you? His face clears. Oh, do you know my fiancé? I was just waiting for her because she left her laptop at my place. I'm in the business program. Veronica, she says, cursing herself for not making that connection earlier. She remembers, but it's not like it once was. It's more the memories of remembering than anything else. Mostly what she remembers is her fear that her death would be just as impactful as Veronica's. She and Sanchez got along in their past lives, and they get along in this one too. After finals, she and Veronica get drunk and show up to Sanchez's door, loudly singing a mostly incorrect rendition of the school chant. When she wakes up the next day, she and Veronica are in Sanchez's bed and he's sleeping on the couch. The logical thing would have been to put her on the couch and for the engaged couple to take the bed, but he only winces as he rolls his neck and orders them all breakfast. You know, I'm starting to see the appeal, she says, halfway through a brunch burger and an iced coffee the size of her head. Starting? Sanchez squawks while Veronica laughs. She leans over to kiss his cheek, smearing ketchup against it, and he shouts and rubs it off, only to be equally dismayed when that obviously gets it all over his hand. Manuel has lived a good life so far. She was born into a perfect family, and had good friends and a doting boyfriend that she should have been able to love. But this is the first time it feels right. That it feels like a life she wants, instead of a life someone decided she deserved. She and Veronica even get a job at the same firm after college, and all three of them live together. There's a newspaper clipping left on his desk. Chansung finds out later that Mira put it there. It's a story about the recently elected legislator to the National Assembly, Kim Sun-bi. Standing next to him, his wife, Choi So-hee, and between them, their two daughters. He frames the article and hangs it. Manuel is 27 when there's a lunar eclipse. She puts on a bright red matching skirt and blazer and rubies in her ears and on her throat. I thought you said you had a job interview, Veronica says, her hand over the swell of her stomach. She's only 5 months along and Sanchez is a wreck. She's pretty sure Veronica has started working overtime to avoid his fretting, which is having the opposite effect. You look like you're getting ready for a date. Manuel smiles. She walks into the lobby of Hotel Del Luna. It's exactly the same as she remembers. She at least expected them to update to room cards. Manuel! The woman behind the desk gasps. It takes her several moments to place her. She's very different to the girl in her memories. Hello, Yuna. You remember? You know me? She asks, reaching out to grab her hands. It takes Manuel a moment to realize she's feeling for her pulse. You're alive. I'm alive, she repeats, pulling one corner of her lips up in a smile. Call the owner. Tell him a candidate for the manager position is here. Yuna's mouth drops open before it closes. How did you... You know that he's... I know who the owner is, she says gently. Call him. I don't like this, Merciful Mago says with a frown, looking at the tangled web meddling Mago has between her fingers. I've tried unraveling it, she says ruefully, scrunching her nose up at the mess of strings. Sometimes things don't want to come undone. It won't do any good to try and force it. They could snip the threads, but they've done that already, to all of them, and here they are all tangled once more. It shouldn't be like this, she insists. Measured Mago doesn't look up from her boiling pot. Not all outcomes can be predicted by preceding actions. It's pitiless Mago who rolls her eyes. Should, shouldn't. It's a waste of time to worry about that. There is only do or don't. She jerks her head towards the tangled mess of string in Meddling Mago's hands. They've made their mess. Let them lie in it. It's not right, and it's not what she wants for any of them. It's not what they should want for themselves. She sighs and then focuses on some strings that are a little less tightly woven. Someone did once tell her that giving people the ability to make their own choices meant that sometimes they'd make choices she didn't like. Chansung is looking over expense reports when the phone rings.
Yes.
There's someone here, Yuna says. He frowns. Her voice is trembling. For the manager position.
I told you to turn away any humans that show up tonight,
he says. They're always more trouble than they're worth. We need a proper human manager. My husband can't do it forever, she says. Really, her husband shouldn't be doing it at all. But he also shouldn't have filed a marriage certificate between a living man and a dead woman, so he doesn't think he has the moral high ground here. You should at least interview her. She hangs up before he can argue against it. He sighs, rubbing out his eyes before pushing himself back from his desk. It'll be faster to send them away himself than to argue with her. He takes the elevator down, smile firmly in place, when the doors open and he steps into the lobby.
Apologies, I believe that there's been some...
He starts, then can't continue, every thought he has flying out of his head.
It's Manuel.
She bows to him, holding out her resume with both hands. He's never seen her this polite. Hello, Mr. Owner. As a Harvard graduate with excellent references, I believe you'll find that I'm your zero-choice candidate. He can't form a single coherent thought. Disbelief and joy and confusion on how she even found the hotel to begin with. Then her words sink in and he can't feel his legs. Zero-choice candidate. No one says that. Is it just a remnant of her past life, or does she... His knees buckle, and she jumps forward to catch him, grabbing his elbows and yanking him into her. Chansung, you're still like this after all these years? How do you get anything done?
Manuel,
he says, reaching up a hand to touch her face. He's had dreams like this before.
Are you real?
What kind of stupid question is that? She demands. He's missed her so much. He tips her head up and kisses her. He doesn't notice he's crying until he tastes the salt on his tongue, but it doesn't slow either of them down. So? She says breathlessly when he finally forces himself to pull back. Does that mean I can have the job?
You can have whatever you want,
he says, then kisses her again. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.